This is the day the Lord has made. Thank you for joining us in worship today. We praise God for you and however you're listening. We pray the message you receive will allow you to strengthen your relationship in Christ and build his kingdom as we seek God, shape lives, and serve the world. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, and Acts 1, 6 through 8. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age." That's what Jesus said to his disciples after his death, burial, and resurrection. But then he continues to speak in Acts 1, as we hear in verses 6 through 8. "So when they had come together, they asked him, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?' He said to them, 'It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the end of the earth.'" Let us pray. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us. Speak to us, God. Anoint us, God. Prepare our hearts and our minds to hear from you, God. God, have your way in this place right now, that every last one of us would hear your word and not just be hearers, but followers to do your will. Whatever our intentions may have been for coming this morning or even for listening today or watching on Facebook, we ask, God, that you would change it, that it would be pure and humble in your sight, that we're preparing our hearts, our minds to be used by you this day forward, that those of us who know you will grow in you, and those who in fact do not know you yet will come to know you. And we will give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and the ends of the earth." You do realize that whatever God calls us to do, he empowers us to do. Let me say it again. Whatever God calls us to do, he empowers us to do. He called Moses to speak to Pharaoh concerning those who were enslaved, and then empowered him to lead them out of bondage in Egypt. He called David to be a shepherd and empowered him to shepherd sheep and protect them from the very animals of prey. He called David to be king and anointed and empowered him in the presence of family who doubted that he would amount to anything more than a shepherd boy. He called the Virgin Mary to be the mother of the Savior of the world. And came upon her and empowered her to give birth to a son and called his name Jesus. He called his son Jesus to save this sin-sick world, even you and me, then empowered him to live in this world, take on our sins, die on the cross, get up from the grave, and then live forever and evermore. He called you and he called me to be his witnesses. Then he sent the Holy Spirit, who empowers us to do just that everywhere we go. We have the power to witness. Yeah, that's it. We have the power to witness. Now, say to the person around you, I have the power to witness.
I have the power to witness.
Now, this time, say it like you got power. I have the power to witness. And let them know, say, you have the power, to witness. Yeah. Notice that we've been in this time of resurrection. We've celebrated Resurrection Sunday. And we've been celebrating that and recognizing that Jesus died. He rose from the grave. But before Jesus died, his physical death, he told his disciples that he must die. But not only did he tell them that he must die, he told them he would get up. But not only that, he told them that he would send them another comforter. They had been with him, he'd been with them, and he said to them, I will send you another comforter. Now, they just started following Jesus. They just started catching on. They've been seeing the miracles. They've been seeing the healing. They've been hearing the teaching. They've been hearing how he talked about love and loving God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. They heard him talk about forgiveness. They've heard him say all these things. Then they saw the many miracles that he did. And just when they kind of catching on and said, okay, he might could be this king that's going to restore us back to what we had been and beyond. He's going to restore Israel. And just they were getting used to that he just might be this king. He just might be this ruler. They kill him. They kill him. And they looked at it, not that Jesus laid his life down because he said he would do that, but they saw them as taking him and killing him. But then, on the third day, he rose from the grave. And he met them and he saw them, and that's when he told them, I need you to go and make disciples and to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I need you to go and make disciples. But then he didn't just send them to go. He told them to wait for this comforter. So he met with them, and then 40 days later, after his resurrection, and note that he had been seen in the physical form by over 500 people since his resurrection. He was around and he talked to folks for 40 days. They could see him and he touched him, and he taught his disciples and they fellowshiped with his disciples for these 40 days. And now we get to that 40th day. And when he gets there, he gets there and he tells them these words. That he's telling them as he begins to talk to them that they've come together. And when they came together, they asked him, will you now at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? In other words, we had a lot of faith that you were going to take over and you were going to knock down this Roman oppression and your children of Israel were going to be right back in charge of our own lives and everything else. He said, now you're going to restore the kingdom in such a way like that. You're going to do that because now you died. We were afraid that it was over, but now you're back alive. We see you. Now you're going to restore the kingdom at this time. And then he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. It's not time to get what you want, but it's time for the Father to do what he wants. And what he wants to do is empower you with the Holy Spirit to be witnesses. In this earth, while you live, while you talk, while you go about right now, he wanted to give. He said, I'm giving you power. Now, you got to understand, between the time Jesus told them this, it's the 40th day. He told them this is the 40th day, and after he told them this, he ascended into heaven. They saw him go up into heaven with two men standing in white, and they kept looking as Jesus just went on up to heaven. The clouds took them away. They're looking. And two men said, why stand you gazing into the heavens? Why are you wasting your time gazing? The same Jesus, what you saw leave, is coming back again in like manner. Now, the point is, he said, I'm empowering you to be witnesses. And the angels say, why stand you gazing? I just kind of want to throw that out. He has empowered us to be witnessing. He's empowered us to turn this whole world upside down for him. Why do we stand gazing? Now, the disciples had a little more reason to gaze than we do. Because they gazing because they ain't never seen that. He's gone up to heaven. But also, the Holy Spirit had not yet come. So they had to be together in one place on one accord, waiting for the Holy Spirit to come. Didn't know when the Holy Spirit was coming. But now they're back in Jerusalem, waiting on the promise. In Jerusalem. I said they're in Jerusalem. Y'all do know that Jerusalem is the place where they arrested and killed Jesus. And you can imagine along with them, if they would kill Jesus, they sure enough ain't got no problem killing Peter, James, John, Thomas. But they went back. They were obedient and waited on the power. And 10 days later, the Holy Spirit came as a rushing wind and empowered them. But they wanted to know, the last conversation they had with Jesus, they wanted to know, are you going to empower us now? Are we going to be in charge and do the things we want done? And they wanted to know about his kingdom coming then. Now, in the English language, of course, a kingdom is usually a territorial sphere, which can be located on a map. Yeah, like the Hazmite kingdom of Jordan, or the Hindu kingdom of Nepal, or the Buddhist kingdom of Thailand, or the United Kingdom. But the kingdom of God is not a territorial concept. It does not and cannot figure on any map. Yet this is what the apostles were still looking for. They were confusing the kingdom of God with the kingdom of Israel. They were like wanting him to take over where they were right then, so they could then do what they wanted to do. And let me say what the disciples wanted. They wanted God to put them in charge. Of course, Jesus could lead them, but there's stuff that they wanted. And they wanted to do things their way because they didn't understand that Jesus' kingdom was not of this world. Yes. They wanted to be a part of the kingdom, but they wanted the power of the kingdom here so they could have their kingdom here. In other words, they knew what it was that God wanted, but what they wanted to them was a little more important than what God wanted. I just want to ask us today, do we know what God wants? Well, let me ask, do we care about what God wants? It's clear that what God wants is for none to perish. It's clear that God wants everybody to be saved. It's clear that Jesus died for all of our sins. Well, it tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that what? Whosoever, that's anybody, believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. But verse 17 says, but the Son came not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Yes. Why is it that so many church folk want to condemn instead of save? He's called us to unite with the saving of those who don't know him. But not only did he call us, he empowered us to do just that. Jesus replied to them and letting them know, well, the time that the kingdom you're talking about, he said, well, that's coming, but that's not for you to determine. That's for the Father to give. And one of the reasons why he has not come yet is clear in 2 Peter. He tells us he is not slow concerning his promise. He said he's coming back, and when he comes back, it's all over. Let me say it again. When he comes back, it's all over. You ain't trying to get yourself right when he comes back. It's going to be all over. Either you know him or you don't know him. Either you accepted him or you don't accept him. But he delayed his coming, and that's part of what we call grace. He delayed his coming because some folks just ain't ready. I said he delayed because some folks just ain't ready. I get on this all the time. When I was president of our state congress and I'm teaching and preaching to pastors and others, and I say to us all the time, we got to be careful what we say and how we say things. Because we talk about how, because we're saved, we're all looking forward to heaven. We know we're going to die and heaven is our home. When we die, we go to a place where you never grow old. You go to a place where every day is Sunday. We go to a place where there's no more heartache, no more backache, no more bills, no more collectors calling your phone and you having to hang up on them. No more of the trials and tribulations. Well, it's great. Heaven is wonderful. That's what we're looking for. But then we'll turn around and we'll pray and we'll say things like, so glad God woke me up this morning, because it could have been the other way. I'm glad my bed was not my sheet was not my winding sheet, and my bed was not my cooling board. I'm here today. It could have been worse. I'm here today, but it could have been worse. What you mean? You could have died? And that's worse? Well, he delayed his coming because even he knows that some folk and the ready part is not that you live imperfect. The ready part is that you have perfectly accepted him as your Lord and Savior. You acknowledge, I believe, first of all, that I've sinned, I've messed up. I ain't walking around here and seeing, talking about how proud I am because I'm a sinner. And I done messed up, and that's just the way I am. I'm going to sin. I've been sinning. I'm going to keep on sinning. I was sinning in the morning, sinning in the afternoon, sinning at night, sinning all last night. Yeah, I'm a sinner. Well, he wants you to admit that we've sinned and we've come short. Yes, sir. But then be godly sorry for our sins. Yes. And acknowledge the fact that Jesus died for all our sins. And that's where the power comes in. He died for all our mess, for all our sins. We celebrate that. We remember that he died. He hung on the cross and died for all of our sins. That's the shouting point. And to show that he has power when he died, he got up. All these other folk called themselves God. They couldn't get up. They dead and still dead. You could find their grave. When they went to his grave, they couldn't find anything but the cloth that he was buried in. He got up and said, I got up with all power. That's what he said. I got up with all power. Power over death. Victory over grave. He said, I got all power. Yeah, I got that power. That's the power I got. And it's the same power that he gives those who believe that he died and he rose. But God has delayed his coming because of grace to give us all an opportunity to know that he loves us so much that Jesus died for all of our sins, and we have sinned and come short, but he died, he rose, and he is coming back again. Jesus let him know that he has power. The power, God's kingdom power is, God's kingdom power is different from the power of human kingdoms. Yeah, he's letting them know that they will have the power, and they can set up this power to rule on this earth, but not the way they were thinking. His kingdom, yeah, his kingdom, and the way he does it, his kingdom, it's spread by witnesses, not by soldiers. His kingdom gives is done through a gospel of peace, not a declaration of war. Yeah. His kingdom is by the work of the Spirit, not by force of arms or political revolutionary violence. Yeah. In rejecting all the political works of the kingdom, we must be aware not to get on the opposite side. In other words, we begin to talk about how God has empowered us to be a part of His kingdom, and we're very spiritual beings. We cannot be so spiritual that we don't want to affect what's going on in the life we have today. But God has empowered us so we can have a transforming effect on anything and everything around us, even us. He wants us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We don't get so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good. We talk about heaven and we want heaven, but even as we point toward heaven, we want to do things in such a heavenly way that we can make changes right here on earth. That we will care about those who are hungry and do something about it. We'll care about those who are thirsty and do something about it. We'll care about those who are homeless and do something about it. We'll care about those who are unemployed and do something about it. We'll care about folk who are being dispersed and cast down and abused in every kind of way. We care about them, but we don't just talk about them. We do something about it. Well, how can we do something about it? Because the power of the witness is in us. We're citizens of God's kingdom. And we deny Caesar and his supreme lord. But we insist on giving all the glory to Jesus, all the glory to God, and Him alone. Amen. Jesus said, "You will be my witnesses." Listen to Him again in Acts 1. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." He says, "You receive power, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem." Now, for Jerusalem, again, that was where He told disciples to stay and wait for the promise. So what He's saying to us today is you will receive power and be witnesses right where you are. Amen. Well, I know we all want to go overseas. We want to get to Haiti and be witnesses in Haiti, but let's be witnesses right in your house. Let's be witnesses right on your street. Amen. Let's be witnesses right where you are. Now, listen, I know that's a little difficult, but because the people in your house kind of know more about you than the folk who are outside your house. Yeah, they were present when you slammed your finger in the closet door. They heard what you said. And it wasn't just Jesus, keep me near the cross. Yeah, they know what happened when you got upset. Yeah, when the very priceless piece of china got broke. They saw your rage. They saw your anger. And so because of folk who are closest to us and around us, we think we don't have the power to witness. My brothers and sisters, understand this. No matter where we go and what we've done, the Bible is clear. All have sinned and come short. It's just a point of owning up that we are sinners saved by grace. It's just a point of not just letting folk make you feel like you're supposed to be so holy and you so perfect and you so this and you so that, that because you so this, you know, you live that way and that's the only side they see. And because you all this, now you can tell me about Jesus. But understand this. A crooked stick can draw a straight line. All right, let me tell you what I mean by that. You don't have to be perfect to tell folk about a perfect God. You just need to be honest. Amen. Yes, I've sinned. Yes, I've come short. Yeah, I'm in the crack house with you. I shouldn't be here. I won't crack as bad as you want it. But Jesus did die for our sins. I want to get out of here, never to go again, because I'm sorry for my sins. But you do need to know Jesus lives. He lives in me. Well, Pastor, how can you say that? You know, that he loved people who've been in the crack house. How do you know? Because, you know, I ain't never done no crack or nothing. That's the worst thing you could possibly do. I ain't no sinner like that. You know, I do my little sins. I don't do no big sins. Sin is sin. Sin is sin. And sin was taking us all to hell. Yeah, sin is sin. So don't ever get so big where you so holy and righteous in your little sins, and you're going to point out the folk with their big sins. Ooh, God, you showed you to get them. One thing they taught me is the boy by pointing. When you say you want to get them, about one finger pointing that way and four pointing back at me. Yeah, try it sometime. You point at... Be careful when we're doing that. That's why Jesus didn't come to condemn. He came to instruct us and to teach us how to live more like he wants us to live. And Paul says, well, because we're saved by grace, then does that mean that we get a license to just sin and just call on the blood of Jesus to cover us for our sins? And no, God forbid. But we have to be cautious enough to realize that he loves us so much. And we start in Jerusalem, right where we are. And then you go to Judea. That's the area right around you. It's kind of outside of where you had been. And the other folk who may know you, then you want them to know that you love God. That you're saved, that God has saved you. Now, that don't ever get to a point where you want to deny Christ. That don't get to be like Peter when Peter was there at the crucifix. Don't ever get that. I know sometimes when folks say, oh, I can't believe you did that. I thought you were saved. Don't ever get that temptation to say, who told you I was saved? I ain't told you I go to church. Well, I know you go to church. No, go ahead and say, I thought you were saved. Yes, I am. I'm saved by the blood of the Lamb. And yes, I've sinned. Yes, I've come short. And I'm sorry for my sins. Every day I want to turn from my sins and live how God wants me to live. You acknowledge it and you give Satan a black eye. He thought he had you. He thought you were just cowered back and said, ooh, well, King, I'm not going to say nothing to you because you know too much about me. I ain't going to tell you about Jesus. Mm-mm. But it's God's will that none should perish. So first, your home. First where you're close to. And then those right outside of where you normally would be. Those right outside, people you know. I really do contend this. That the reason you know who you know, and the reason people are in your life like they are, the people who you associate with, the folk who you know, the reason you know those folk that you know, and let me say this, because some folk know a lot of people, you don't know everybody. No, let me say it again. You might know a whole lot of people. You might have 10,000 on your Facebook friends, and you definitely don't know them. But you don't know everybody. You don't. But there's some folk who you do know and some folk who know you. There's some folk in your sphere of influence. I truly believe that everybody who you know and you connected with in any kind of way, God is saying, I got enough confidence in you and place enough power in you so you can make sure that they get saved. That's why they're there. Where they hurt me. Where they were supposed to hurt you. They talked about me. They were supposed to talk about you. You don't know. They despitefully use me. They were supposed to despitefully use you. They get on my last nerve. They supposed to get on your last nerve. Pastor, what in the world are you talking about? We believe what Paul said. And we know that all things work together for good. For those who love God, who are the called according to his purpose. Yes. If you love God, it doesn't matter the stuff that they said or did to you. You just keep loving God. Now, if we love God the way he wants us to love him, then those folk will get to see your good works. Let your light shine that others may see your good works and then give God glory. In other words, out of everything that everybody's ever done to you, if you realize the only reason they've done it is so God could use you to help them to come to see him, then you need to say, to God be the glory. Because it wasn't about you, it's about God's will getting done, and it's his will that none should perish. That's why he goes from Jerusalem to Judea. Now he really gets on the Jews' nerves with this. And Samaria. Samaria? The mixed breed Samaria? Don't know better like the Samaritans. Not the Jewish folk. They have no dealings with the Samaritans. But he said, Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. In other words, he wants you to make sure that the folk you don't get along with get saved. And he says, I've empowered you to do just that. Oh, I know it's okay to contact our friends and send them a track, talk to them about it. Send one to your enemies. Be a blessing to your enemies. Don't just send them a note. Put some money in it. Yeah. Cash App them. They might be your enemy, but they ain't going to Cash App it back. Be a blessing in such a way so God can get the glory. Lead, guide, and direct them in such a way that whatever God needs done, you're willing to do it. Move in such a way because he's empowered us to be able to do it his way. Amen. Start at home, in your neighborhood, friends, and then those who may not be your friends. And lastly, it says, to the uttermost parts of the world. Yes. Now, the uttermost parts of the world includes who?
Everybody.
That's beyond where you were. That's beyond where you were. And that's where you have to go. Everybody. Now, who is it that will make a difference in this community? Let me say it again. Who is it that will make a difference in this community? I say, who is it that will make a difference in this community? Who is it that God has empowered to be witnesses? He's empowered all of us to be his witnesses. He's empowered all of us. And so as he's empowered us, we'll allow God to get first place. If it's his will that none should perish, it's to be our will that none should perish. It's to be our will. Well, I'm closing. It says to us clearly, you might think I don't have power to affect change in our community, but you have the power. Yes. Well, let me ask you this. Do you believe God has the power to change folk in your family?
Yes.
Do you believe God has the power to transform folk in your community?
Yes.
Do you believe that God has the power to transform this world?
Yes.
You're right about it. And Ephesians 3:20 tells that. It says, now unto him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. But it's according to the power that works in us. He's given us power to live for him. He's given us power to evangelize. He's given us power to reach the unreachable. So let's do our part and reach those who may not know Christ. Let's do our part to reach those who might seem unreachable. Let's do our part to reach those who might seem unlikable. And whatever issues we have with others, realize that God has forgiven them and will forgive them from all sin and unrighteousness. I say God will forgive them for all sin and all unrighteousness. And he called on us to be witnesses. Let us pray. Gracious God, we ask right now in a special way that you would touch our hearts and our minds to be the witnesses you call us to be. That you would lead us, guide us, strengthen us to love, to care, to share as only you've empowered us to love, care, and share. We ask God in a special way that you would be with Brother Lewis Brooks. Touch and heal, God, as nobody can but you. But keep us all right now, God, as we focus upon your grace, your love, your mercy, as we ever look unto you, the author and finisher of our faith. Help us to know, God, that you have empowered us to be witnesses all the way to the utmost. Bless us that we can be a blessing. And now, God, if there are those here today who don't know who you are, if there are those who today who have sinned and come short and sorry for their sins and want to turn from their sins and want to accept you today as Lord of their lives, we pray, God, that you will so speak to their hearts that as we have this moment of invitation, that they will come and give their lives to you. And God, we will give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. Bless us that we can bless others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Remain connected to us as we build God's kingdom together. Join us on Facebook at the historic First African Baptist Church and our website, firstafricanbc.com. You may also contribute through an app called Givelify, Givelify. May God bless you and thank you for worshiping with us.